Hope Church South Bedfordshire has had a group of people meeting each weekday morning to look at God's word and what it means for us. We hope you join us on this journey, and as you do so, ask God to speak to your heart as well. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Our desire is we find God's abundant life for each one of us. Good morning and welcome to our podcast this morning. This morning we are looking at Luke 6, verse 43 to 49. And I have David willing to pray with us and Bob going to read for us.
Father, it's so good to be in your presence, to know that you're here with us. And Lord, as we just delve into your word, we just pray there's a fresh revelation of its meaning to our lives and to those around us. And Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful book that you've given us, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete.
Thank you both. And we're coming to some more of the teaching Jesus has been given. We've been following the Beatitudes in Luke and the teaching afterwards. And here we come to some very key passages. Yesterday, I was quickly glancing at some of the issues Jesus was addressing, how we can be hypocritical. We need to address that in our hearts. There's things that we need to look at. Take the log out your own eye before you address the speck in your brother's eye. There's some very powerful things. If you follow a teacher who's blind, you will be blind with them and fall in a pit. And here today, in Jesus' teaching, he gives a couple of very key principles. One is, it's by your fruit you know things. And actually, fruitfulness in our lives is important. And actually, this is where Jesus is saying, actually, a bad tree can't produce good fruit, and a good tree can't produce bad fruit. There's something about the building of the tree that produces its fruit. And so in some ways, it's not to go, oh, I had a nice grape, oh, I had a bad grape. It's actually saying it's the tree that produces that. These things are grown over a period of time. These things are produced over a period of time. It's not the instant. It's not the instant response to something. It's the growth that happens of God building in our lives over time that's so important, that produces that fruit in its season. And then the second part of this, we've got this building a house with no foundations, and it just crumbles in a heap. And you've got this difference between the building on what Jesus is saying and the building without it, that basis. And you've got some strength on that. And I'm sure we'll have some great discussion on both of these illustrations. But bang smack in the middle of it is a verse where Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? And so we've got an inference there that it's not just about hearing what he says, or the words going through our ears and out the other ear, or whatever it is. It's what we do with what he says is the lead into that building. And so we're dealing with the longer term a little bit this morning. We're looking at buildings, we're looking at fruit, and I'm going to hop out the way and let others chip in.
I was thinking our mouths give us away, don't they? What we say very soon reveals what our heart is like, what we're really like, even if our words are saying something else. They do reveal the truth of what is in our heart. And I was thinking of the saying, give someone enough rope and they'll hang themselves. You know, sometimes when perhaps the police are interviewing a suspect and they're trying to get information out of him, trying to get a confession, perhaps they might just allow them to speak. And if they, even if they carry on denying something, eventually, there's a very good chance that they will admit something unintentionally just through speaking. And yeah, our mouths can give a very clear indication of what our hearts are like.
What speaks to me, that it says, verse 44, each tree is recognised by its own fruit. So we are responsible for what our own fruit looks like as an individual. We can't pinch someone else's fruit and say that it's ours. So that fruit has to be in our lives, has to be sort of nurtured and looked after and cared for in order to produce that fruit. And I'm thinking over time, as Nigel was saying earlier, I hadn't really seen it as over time, but thinking about it, you know, a fruit bush or a fruit tree, it takes a while for it to start to bear fruit in the first place, and you know, but it's we're responsible for our own. We can't say, or we go to maybe, I don't know, for example, go to one church and say, well, that's my church that I go to, therefore my fruit looks like this. But it's such a personal thing for us to I think the feeding, you know, the tree needs feeding, and it reminds me of the vine. You know, if we linked in with the vine, and then part of Jesus, we will show his fruit in our lives, and it will come out of us. And it will be evident to others. So whatever fruit, good fruit, bad fruit, it's revealing of what is going on inside and what has for a long time, and it pops out, you know, as in our speaking, in our or in our demeanour in situations, whether difficult situations or happy situations. But actually, it's a really powerful thing, and I think it's far more powerful than we realise to others. So yeah, it could be good fruit or bad.
Yeah, so go on, David.
I'm just going to say, I'm just reminded of Proverbs 18, where it says, a man's stomach should be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he should be filled. And death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It just says the same sort of thing. It's talking about what comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our hearts, but it also does the same thing. It goes in reverse to a certain degree. We've got to watch what we speak, because what we speak affects our hearts as well. And it says, you know, if we speak out through the mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead, then we will be saved. So we have to be very careful about what we speak out, because sometimes what we speak can be governed by the flesh, not by the spirit. And it's what we allow into our hearts that is so important, because that brings forth the fruit. That brings forth who we really are, who our real identity is in Christ. And sometimes we say things that don't actually reflect what Christ has actually done for us.
Yeah, I think just looking at this, there's a lot going on. I think this idea that if we go to a particular place and sit on a particular seat, and being part of that environment makes us this, then that's not true. And that's what faith's saying in some ways. You can sit in a garage all the time and not become a car, was the old illustration we used to use. You can sit in church all the time and not actually have that life in you. Each of us needs to listen to the words of Jesus, apply them to our lives, and the fruit grows from that lifestyle of following Jesus. And I think that's very powerful. I love the way you mentioned John 15, the vine and the branches. He is divine, we are the branches, and his life flows into us and out through us. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful. And then what David's saying about the power of the words and the power of the tongue and so on. And what is interesting, there's actually three illustrations in this passage. You've got the tree, and you've got the treasure. And then you've got, the last bit there, which is referring to the building. And the treasure says a good person brings good things out of the treasure in their hearts. Yeah. The bad person, the evil person, brings treasure out of the evil treasure in their hearts, is what my version of the Bible says. Now you think, how do you have evil treasure? And so I'm just curious a little bit on that. In some ways, that means that people who aren't doing good store nasty things in their hearts, and they bring those up from time to time. And what David's saying about our tongue showing some of that, I think Faith was saying that as well, is our tongue showing what's in our hearts. And actually this wellspring of our treasure, that the things we treasure on our hearts, what are we treasuring on our hearts, should come out in our words, and we should be bringing that forth to people around us. I think the other thought, just I'll throw in here quickly, is when you go looking for fruit, if you've got an orchard and it's got apples in it, and you go to the part of the garden that's got the orchard in it and you get the apples, you go to another part of the garden which has the brambles growing and you get your blackberries and things like that. And you've got different fruit there. It grows different fruit from different trees. What tree are we? What do people come to us over time for? And that's an indication of the fruit that's in our lives. There's some people you just know are just so attractive to be around. There's almost like a glow of something of God. You just want to spend more and more time with them. There's something that flows from them. And I'm not saying that everyone has that kind of effervescence or whatever it is. The don't know what you call it, but the devil doesn't like it down in our hearts. It's some of that. Fruit. People come to us for fruit. Yeah. People are around our lives for the fruit that God brings. It can be a fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It can be those kind of things. People just, I always find this around. We might find we're stronger in one of those flavors than the other. There's some of those things that people come around us for that are part of what we grow out of our life with God. And I think the question is, what fruit am I growing, is a question that I'm asking as I'm reading this passage. What is coming forth from my life that, and are people enjoying the fruit? You know, is it rich? Is it sweet? Is it all it can be?
But it should be a reflection of who Christ is, shouldn't it? Because that's where it comes from. It doesn't come from a law that says thou shalt do this. Thou shalt be loving, joyful, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and kind. It comes as a fruit of the Spirit that we allow work within us. Otherwise, we get the fruit, the works of the flesh is what's also referred to in that passage. And the lewdness, I can't remember all of them, but uncleanness and all the rest of it, hatred comes from the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, you can't write a law to say you shall be like this, because it comes naturally. And I think the natural fruit becomes very attractive because it's sincere. It's what is real. It's real fruit. Yeah. It's not the plastic imitation that you sometimes see on supermarket shelves. It's the real thing, as they say. And you can recognize the real thing. You can recognize the false fruit. And it's the real thing that attracts people as you allow Christ to work through you. That is what is attractive, I think, to others. It's not telling them that they should be this, that, and the other, or to do this, that, and the other, because you can't write laws to make people behave that way. It's like the law, anti-hatred laws. Hatred comes from the heart, and it's difficult to actually legislate. That's the word I was looking for. Legislate against hatred. You can tell people they shouldn't exhibit hatred, I suppose, but the love comes from the heart. Love comes from the Spirit through the heart and out, and it comes through a confidence in knowing who we are in Christ, knowing that actually we walk with Him, we walk with God in the cool of the day, so to speak. We're back into that deep relationship with Him, which allows Him to work through us into this world.
And I think, you know, that's really well put, David. The sense I'm saying here is also when those fruits, that fruit of what God's doing from our relationship with Him flows into us, and we allow it, as you said, allow the Holy Spirit to move through us more and more. Over time, beautiful fruit comes out. But it does have a flavor and little taint to it that's slightly different with different trees. It does have some of our personality and some of our flavor on it. Hopefully that's not too strong. we like to think it's pure in it. There's none of that in there at all. But there is a little bit. And so we've got to allow what God brings into us to flow through us, to transform us, and to actually bring that fruit and recognize it will have a little bit of a flavor because God actually works through us. And actually, so there is a little bit of a flavor of us in that as well, I would suggest. But I'm happy to be taken down on that.
No, it's okay. And the follow-up from the fruit of the Spirit, of course, it says, against such things there is no law, and those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So it's talking about being aware of what the flesh can do and choosing to walk in the Spirit. And I think that's the instruction. The instruction is choose to walk in the Spirit. So choose to listen to the Spirit. Choose to listen to God as opposed to listen to the flesh.
We can easily tell the difference between real fruit
and the plastic fruit on the supermarket displays. We can't pretend to be something that we're not, because people will see through it very quickly. You know, people in our day and age pretend to be something they're not on social media, for example. But the plastic fruit is so easy to identify.
Yeah. It's interesting that he goes on to talk about building on the rock, because the fruit that comes has to be built on the rock. It's firm and solid. Our house is built is built on piles, which goes down to the bedrock. We had a flood the other day. The stream at the back overflowed, and it hurtled down the side of the house. And the house is totally unmoved. We've been here 27 years now, but there's no cracks in the walls or the plaster or anything. It is firm and solid because it is built on the rock. And I think that's a sort of a good picture for us, is we need to be associated with the Lord on a continuous basis. He said, pray without ceasing, meaning let us walk with him continuously, talking with him, being with him, taking on his nature as we walk alongside, reading his word as we're doing now. And that's how we become as Christ, as we become with those attributes, that fruit, as the fruit ripens and it becomes sweet as we walk with him.
And sorry, go on. The building here that's mentioned, I was just going to move on to that a little bit. It's saying the foundations aren't there on one building, and the foundations are there on the other building. And the kind of sentence that leads into that is Jesus saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? I'm just wondering, the foundations are, to me, not the most exciting part of the building. They're all underground. You don't really see what's going on. If I was building foundations and working on all of that, I like when you see the brick builders, you know, laying all the bricks and the thing going up, and every day it's reaching a new height. You watch a building being built across the road from you or something, and you see that height going up day by day, and it's like, wow, you can see the improvement. That's all the exciting stuff. But the foundations underneath are the very, very important part of that. You can't go very high up off the ground without decent foundations. You can't do those things. And so in some ways, that meshing into him and really connecting and not just hearing what he's saying, but doing what he's saying and building carefully with those things, actually at the beginning of things, actually helps us build more.
Yeah, I think also the foundations become very exciting when you get into a storm and floods and things like that, because I can remember Andy, the assistant pastor at the church, he was talking about, because he's a horticulturist, I would like to say, he was talking about the roots of a tree, and when the tree hits a storm, when the storm comes, the roots are very important. And actually, when they hit the storm, the roots grow stronger, I seem to remember him saying. And I think sometimes when we hit the storm, if our roots aren't initially strong in the Lord, the foundations, if you like, aren't strong in the Lord, we cave in and we fall over, like a tree will fall over in the if its roots aren't solid. And it just speaks to me about actually really sort of living with Christ and getting that foundation really solid in you, so that when we are hit by the storm, we can stay firm. And that means that we're going to, in the face of persecution, in the face of all sorts of things, we remain firm and deliver the fruit.
I'm just sort of thinking also in temptation as well. And you sort of think Jesus, when he was tempted, said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. and there's something of that connection with God and his word in us, and building with that carefully, that helps produce the foundations against some of the storms that come. We don't want to break that connection. You don't want to break that connection with God, that beautiful flow. I mean, if you put it in John 15, it's a vine and the branch with the sap coming through it. You don't want to break that linkage. You don't want to break any of that. You don't want any break in that. You want the flow going straight through. And in the same way, building on what God says, God brings into your life, building carefully with that, it's going to produce great fruit, as John 15 promises.
That's great fruit, not grapefruit.
Yeah, no, grapefruit's a bit bitter, but great fruit is wonderful.
My former life, I used to deal with buildings that had been damaged by subsidence. And one of the first things we would do is dig a hole next to the building to have a look at the foundations. And that would often reveal that the foundations were inadequate. And that's why the building was cracking and starting to fall down. So the foundations are a critical part of our lives. On the odd occasion, we had to write off a building because the foundations were so inadequate that it couldn't be repaired. You couldn't repair or patch up the superstructure because the foundations on which it was built, which you couldn't see, which no one was aware of really, were totally inadequate. And sometimes, you know, that it was so bad it couldn't be repaired. So that used to really remind me about the foundations of my life. It's so important to be founded on the rock, not on the soft ground.
Yeah. I remember just you've reminded me, Bob, I spent some time in the early 90s around East Anglia. And there were huge problems with subsidence. There was a lack of rainfall and houses. I remember visiting a woman and they had these little tags either side of the crack to see how much it moved. And the reason for that subsidence was the houses were built in the 50s and had survived to the 90s with none of these cracks or problems. But what had happened was agriculturally, they were using so much water from underneath the ground, it was causing the soil constitution to change in the area. And as a result, the water table was dropping. And as a result, they hit problems in the, you know, 40 years later. And I think that just reminds me that in some of these things, not going down to the bedrock, oh, it's okay, it's enough. Oh, it'll last for years and years and years. But then that moment comes where you suddenly find, actually, there's a test here of how well-rooted and how well-grounded this is. And so the discipline, like David's house, where they've got pylons going down into the bedrock, that's a very powerful thing because that's stable. Where you don't have that and you've kind of thought, well, it hasn't shifted for a long time, it'll be okay. That it shows up later.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've got up on my wall here, Psalm 37, and in verse 4 it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." And as we delight ourselves, as we put those piles down to the bedrock and we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us those desires to exhibit the fruit, if you see what I mean. It's sort of all ties in together. I just love the scriptures, how they all just say something very simple. listen to what Jesus did and listen to him, and it comes about. But
right. Well, we're past time. I think I'm just trying to think of things in this. I think the looking at what you're producing fruit-wise is really helpful. Using the measure of what comes out of our mouths is also an indicator of what treasures in our hearts sometimes. And from time to time, we need to look at what treasure we're putting in there. And that's often shown for me when I open my mouth Yeah. I think with looking at the foundations and the building, there's tools there of how we should build our lives. And just like in the 90s when those houses got in trouble because of their lack of foundation, actually they did underpinning of foundations. They did some work on the foundations to stabilize that foundation and stabilize the house sometimes. It was very expensive work. Maybe you're looking at your life today and saying, actually, it's a bit wobbly. The storms are coming. I'm a little bit concerned. Have a look at the foundations. How's your connection with Jesus? How is it going? Are you tightly connected to him? Are you doing what he says you should do? If you are, then you know, you just check that. Oh, yeah, solid. Good. But if you found that actually there's a bit of weakness in that you need to pay attention to, that's a good idea. And maybe the passage today is something just to give that prompt to all of us to just double check that. And so thank you all for all you've brought. It's been wonderful this morning. I've got new understandings. My mind's now gone into houses splitting in half and things like that. But it's all good stuff. And if you want to do further study, go to John 15. Look up the Jesus talking about the vine and the branches. It's absolutely powerful. Anyway, God bless you and see you on Monday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to find out more about Hope Church South Bedfordshire, you can find out off our website, www.hopecentral.co.uk. Also, you may like to visit us. We meet at a lovely old church built in 1220 in Tillsworth, part of Dunstable wider area. And you're welcome to visit us. We meet at 10:30 in the morning, and you'd be most welcome to attend and meet us there. Or alternatively, you can find us broadcasting live on our YouTube channel, which is also under Hope Church South Bedfordshire. Thank you very much for joining us. Hope God blessed you loads.